Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NBA playoffs live here. Warriors, Blazers, Saturday night at 9:30 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Here in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia, we only talk to the best and the brightest. So why in the world are we inviting Pat Duffy from the break room?
Not fitting the criteria today. We apologize, but we'll do it. We'll get through it here.
We'll do what we can. What's up, buddy?
That hurt me so bad. Now I need one of those burrito tacos that you were just talking about. It sounds so delicious.
Absolutely. Eat your feelings away. What are the Bills going to do with Gillislee, Pat?
Let him walk. Are you guys panicking? Tell me Gene's not panicking.
Gene's panicking.
Oh my God.
Listen, you know what rarefied air Mike Gillislee is in with the numbers he put up last year at a 5.7 yards per carry, 100 carries, 8 touchdowns. Only 4 other guys in NFL history have done that. 3 of them in the Hall of Fame. What would he do in New England, Pat? Go draft somebody else. It's plug and play. You're not going to get that sort of running back to match that production.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I remember another guy. Oh my God, how are we going to make this work? Carlos Williams was the best rookie running back the Bills have seen in 60 years. How, when we released him during training camp, are we going to survive, Gene? How is that going to happen? You could count like Carlos Williams doesn't just walk in the door every single day. Where's he playing right now? Where's he?
Well, that's different. He weeded his way out of
the
league.
He's at that Taco Bell that you were talking about.
No, it's not different. I'll tell you what it is. It's a system for these running backs. Jonathan Williams is going to pick up the slack where Mike Gillislee was. I mean, come on. He's a backup running back who we picked up off the street in week, 7, 2 seasons ago? And you're going to pay him $4 million next year? Be my guest.
Duffy, considering Williams' pending legal issues and an NFL suspension that could happen, I mean, does that force the Bills at some point this draft now with no Mike Gillislee to address running back?
Yeah, I think you were doing it anyway. I think you were taking someone in the fourth or fifth round like you do every year. I mean, all right, I'm going to run some numbers off the top of my head. If you guys want to check these, I'm pretty sure I'm right, but check them if you want. The New England Patriots next year, $4 million for Gillislee, if the report is right, and then Gilmore's getting $8.5 million signing bonus. How much money is that? To three guys we know very, very well. Would you pay that much money in Buffalo for those three players next season?
All right, say it again. You had Gilmore at 40.
Gilmore's 8.5 plus 18.
Okay.
Hogan is, I think, 5.5 against the cap. And then next year, Gillislee will be 4 if the report is right. How much money is that? That's a fortune for those three players. And let's keep in mind, everyone freaked out about Hogan because he had that nice touchdown catch in a blown coverage by the other guy you just spent a fortune on. Plus that AFC Championship game with a couple of blown coverages. We've seen what Hogan can do. We've seen what Gilmore can do. Gillislee's a nice player. I mean, Gillislee can play, but he's not a $4 million back. Would you spend that much money as a Bills general manager on those three players next season?
Well, I'll turn around and ask you. No, I don't think anybody would say yes to that. And I think people that are upset about Hogan, there's a lot of revisionist history. I said let him walk because even if you brought back Hogan, he's not going to produce the same way that you saw him produce this past season in New England. Gilmore, no. Nobody's going to want to pay that money for that production that he had in Buffalo. To me, Gillislee is just a little bit different. So that being said, Pat, the fact that Doug Whaley didn't tender him at the second round level and only the fifth, this is a different conversation if the Bills are receiving a second-round pick. I think everybody could agree with that. Did Doug Whaley make a mistake by not tendering him at that level?
Well, the question becomes, at tendering him at the second-round level, what do you have to pay him to tender him at the second-round level? And, I mean, I'm not a cap expert, so I'm not totally sure about that. But I get the feeling Whaley just squeezed him in where they could cap-wise. I mean, the fact is, as much as he's 29 years old with a lot of mileage, LeSean McCoy can play, and he costs money. So you have to make a decision where you want to spend your money. And if it's between LeSean McCoy or Mike Gillislee, if it's between Tyrod Taylor or Mike Gillislee, yeah, I'll pay the other guy.
Pat Duffy from The Break Room on 96.5 WCMF, our guest here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. It's good having you on. We haven't had you on in a while. And since the last time we had you on, Pat, I think we've kind of seen a lot of smoke screens out of One Bills Drive. There's been a lot of whining, a lot of dining, a lot of quarterback conversation. The draft just over a week from now. Would you be comfortable with the Bills taking a quarterback with the 10th pick overall in the draft?
All right, so I'm torn on this. Initially, I tell myself, no, what are you doing? Are we, if we're going to win, let's go get something that can help us now. That being said, if you don't take a quarterback in the first two picks, you're in the exact same spot next season, quarterback-wise, that you've been for the last two. Because what's Tyrod do to make? 17 mil next year? Something like that? They're not going to pay him that money. So you're going to have to go out and draft a quarterback next season if you don't do it here. 10 is high, but, what other option do you have? You kind of put yourself in this corner again. So you either take it with all of the options you have this year with Trubisky or Watson or Kaiser, whoever it is, or you pray to God next year that wherever you pick, there's someone that can step in and start right away. I mean, which one would you rather do? I'd rather have a year under my belt with a guy.
Any of these late round guys do anything for you?
Well, there's one. There's one that sticks out in my head particularly, who, if they were to sign him, let's say, as an undrafted free agent, I would roll a red carpet out and celebrate him coming home. You know who I'm talking about, Gene.
He can't play this summer. He cannot play. What's the point then?
Well, you bring Chad Kelly in because, first of all, I'm buying that jersey the second the Bills sign him as an unrestricted free agent.
Such a fanboy.
Second of all, is he any worse? Is he worse than Cardale Jones, Gene? Just straight talent on the field. Is Chad Kelly a better quarterback than Cardale Jones?
Well, listen, you cannot. The quarterback position is more than just straight talent on the field. And to me, Cardale Jones had a better collegiate career, since that's what we have to measure off of. I can't really count the rookie season for Cardale Jones here in Buffalo, seeing that he was hurt for much of it. And that week 17, Cardale Jones is a better quarterback than Chad Kelly, Pat. I'm sorry.
Cardale Jones had a better rookie career. He was benched. He was taken out of the game. He wasn't a starter at Ohio State. I mean, say what you want about Chad Kelly. The guy's come back from a lot of adversity, self-inflicted. That's fine. But the kid was a starter at Ole Miss. There was national championship buzz. The kid played his heart out. It wasn't his fault that that team wasn't going anywhere. If I had a choice between the two, if you sat me down today and said you can have Chad Kelly or Cardale Jones as your quarterback behind Tyrod Taylor, it's not even a question. I'm taking Chad Kelly.
I agree with Duffy, and I've been pretty vocal about my little man crush on Chad Kelly. I think now, especially when you consider that I'm sure a lot of teams are looking at him as damaged goods, not just because of his off-field issues, but now because of the wrist surgery, the recovery from the torn ACL. I mean, if he goes undrafted, what do you have to lose?
You're exactly right. And here's the thing. You either have to take a quarterback in the first two rounds, which you don't want to do with only having six picks and all the holes on this team, or you have assurance from Chad Kelly and his agent that if he doesn't get drafted, he's signing in Buffalo. The kid's a top two-round talent without the injury and off-the-field stuff. So it's that or that quarterback from Temple as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I would argue that if it wasn't for the off-field and the injuries, he would be the top quarterback prospect in this year's draft, hands down.
Well, as much as I hate to give Gene credit, he's absolutely right about the college career. The sample size is pretty small, right? I mean, I know he's a big-time quarterback at a big-time program, but I don't know if I would be comfortable taking Chad Kelly without the injuries in the first two rounds based on watching him play college ball. But again, as an undrafted free agent, what do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose.
Pat, let's just say the Bills don't go at quarterback at number 10. Is there anybody out there that catches your eye? What should the Bills do at 10 if they don't go quarterback?
As much as I don't want to do it, I think it's got to be a receiver. That kid from USC, what is it, Juju Fish? What's his name?
Which kid are you talking about? The receiver?
The wide receiver out of USC or Mike Williams. I mean, I know that we're 0-for-2 right now on Mike Williams.
I like Williams. I mean, listen, I worry about going with a wide receiver at 10 when I consider that Tyrod is throwing them the ball. But Williams, to me, is intriguing just because I think that guy's going to be a star in this league.
Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, that might be a guy you could get later in the second round. You just want the jersey. That's what you want. You want to say, go, Juju!
Well, it doesn't say Juju on the back, buddy. It's his last name, Gene. I can't believe I have to school you on what names they put on backs of jerseys. This is not cool. But no, I'm worried to go safety that high. I'm worried to go corner that high because your bust-to-success ratio on a defensive back at 10 overall, you got problems. I mean, look at what Buffalo's done historically top 15. I mean, you got Nate Clemens, which is a nice pick. You got Antoine Winfield. He might have been outside there. But then you have a guy like Dante Whitner and a guy like Leotis McKelvin. So if you're swinging 50% for defensive backs, go with someone who can make a bigger impact.
Pat Duffy from the Break Room on 96.5 WCMF joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Thank you for your time this afternoon. While we're shifting gears here, let's go from football to hockey. I know you've been spending a lot of time watching the NHL's postseason and kind of grinding your teeth a little bit when you see some ex-Sabres out there having success.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts a lot. I don't know. Cassian's the one that hurts me the most out in Edmonton. Zach Cassian, because if I'm not, I think he's got two goals this series, including a game winner and a monster hit that like turned Edmonton on a couple of games ago. I want to say that this is all just a fluke, that God loves tormenting us, right? The same day that Doug Whaley gets the position of worst general manager, according to Roto-World, Gillislee is gone. And then in the same day, you have former Sabres and Drew Stafford and Tim Shaler and Zach Cassian scoring goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But it's possible that you have two legitimate NHL forward lines in non-Sabres that are having the games of their careers in this NHL playoffs. And it's almost more depressing to watch that than the product the Sabres were putting on the ice during the regular season.
It's fun, too, because you forget some guys. Like, I'm watching the Ranger Montreal. Wait, Steve Ott's in Montreal now? How did that happen?
Well, how about Dominic Moore playing like crazy out in Boston right now? Dominic Moore, I mean, he barely had a cup of coffee in Buffalo, and now all of a sudden he's a legit top six player out there in Boston right now.
How much do you hate the Maple Leafs?
I hate the Maple Leafs with every fiber of my being. Like, for on so many different levels, I hate the Maple Leafs. I hate Maple Leafs fans. I hate the Air Canada Center. I hate the CN Tower. I hate everything about the Maple Leafs. And watching what happened last night, I wanted to take the bridge. I really did. Like, first of all, I'm not convinced that this is a really, really good hockey team. I'm not. I think that this is lightning in a bottle, and you got a bunch of young guys that can play, combined with the fact that you're playing a team in the Capitals that are notorious choke artists. Notorious choke artists. But, I mean, the Toronto media and the NHL and Danger Gene, you guys know this. Once the Leafs are good, everybody gets loud. They're the Yankees of the NHL. So if they win this series, all summer long, I'm going to have to read about how fantastic the Leafs are and how screwed up the Sabres front office are, when in reality, the Sabres are a player or two away from being the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
Is that all it's going to take?
I think so. I think you're two defensemen away. I think you got your forwards there within the system, and Bailey and Baptiste and Rodriguez on their way up, Nylander coming possibly next season. You just got to solidify that blue line, and everything's going to be okay. We're not as far as everybody thinks.
What are they doing with Bylsma?
If I'm the general manager, he's got to go. He's got to go. I mean, all right, so I have it. There's a guy that played in Buffalo over the last couple of seasons who played and he's a tough guy, a guy who knew what he was doing. He's not one of these. Yeah. He told me that Bylsma played such terrible mind games with him that he had to see a psychiatrist at the end of the season. Like, you have professional hockey players, psychiatry over the way Bylsma was treating them. And I've heard this from a couple of different guys, not the psychiatrist thing, but Bylsma just messes with them, messes with their heads. And Jack Eichel doesn't like him. It's obvious. You don't have to have inside information to know that when Bylsma gets brought up in front of Eichel, his adorable little pale face gets all pursed up, right? I mean, he's got to go.
Well, is this Tim Murray buying himself some time? Because yeah, if it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen at some point. If the Sabres come out of the gates and they lollygag next year, well, then obviously he's gone, right? Well, if you make the move now and you hire a new coach and that team lollygags and then, Tim Murray's gone. Isn't the fact that this hasn't happened just yet, this is Tim Murray kicking the can down the road, and eventually, whether it's in November or December, you will have a coaching change?
Okay, it's possible. I think Murray knows that if he fires his coach now, I mean, he's won a Stanley Cup, a gold medal in Bylsma, that you're going to have a hard time attracting big-name talent to coach for the Sabres. And the thing about hockey is, it's one of those weird sports where if a quarter of the way through the season the Sabres are no good and they make a coaching change, it can save your season. It's not going to wreck you. That being said, keep an eye on who the Sabres hire in the front office over the next month. Because let's say a guy like Lindy Ruff gets a scouting or operations position, that's going to tell you that Bielsma's got a quarter season to right the ship before they replace it with somebody already in-house.
There's a great piece on ESPNRochester.com written by Paul Hamilton, who spent some time talking to Josh Georges after the season was up, and it paints a picture of dysfunction within the locker room, Pat. I mean, it talks about how, you know, George is a guy who's a veteran player, has been doing it a long time, was actually used as an example by coaches for the way to do things the right way, and was kind of ridiculed by the youth on the team for being made that example. Does that just speak to this team just, quite honestly, needing to grow up in order to make it to that next level?
Yes, I mean, I read the article by Paul. It was a great article. But it tells me that you now have to go out and sign Brian Gionta for one more season, and that Jack Eichel's not ready to wear the C. I love Jack. He's a great guy. He's 20 years old. He's still a kid, and he's surrounded by his buddies. And when you're at work surrounded by a bunch of your friends and no one to hold you accountable, if you're the boss, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's human nature to then click off and not take your job as seriously as you would. And it's possible, guys, that this team next season is even younger than it has been over the last two, which is insane. You need to bring back Brian and maybe even bring in some more veteran leadership to try and make this thing right before all of a sudden you've got a PK Subban in Montreal, Evander Kane in Winnipeg kind of non-fixable situation.
Pat, follow me on this. If the story for Jack Eichel ends like this, ladies and gentlemen, the Stanley Cup, and there it is, and Gary Bettman hands it over to Jack Eichel in front of the home crowd, and whether this is 3 years, 4 years, this is the story we all want. He's the captain. Well, why not start the future now on this? Because Jack Eichel, the reason why he was pissed at the end of that press conference, you know, on locker cleanout day, he's a competitor. He's measuring himself against Connor McDavid, and there's Connor McDavid in the playoffs, and Connor McDavid wears the C. And then Toronto next year, maybe Austin Matthews wears the C. If Jack Eichel is eventually going to be the captain of this team, let's start the process right now. And, by the way, you have that guiding hand, and the guy we all love, Brian Gionta.
Also, by the way, you have something that you can dangle in front of him to get him to sign a contract that is more beneficial for the organization long term. If you're Tim Murray, who's already said, hey, I'm gonna, you know, be involved one way or the other, either directly or indirectly, in deciding who the captain of this team is going to be, doesn't that work in your advantage if your goal is to retain Jack Eichel long term?
I mean, I'll listen to that argument. I will, but I don't think you guys are talking about the NHL of days gone by, where wearing the C for a professional hockey team meant something. And not that it doesn't anymore, but do you think wearing the C will save you millions of dollars in a contract with a guy like Jack Eichel, with a killer agent like Jack Eichel has, with a guy who has endorsements with Bauer and body armor like Jack Eichel? I just don't see it. I don't think the kid's that stupid, and I don't think the people around him are that stupid. And if we're going to be real, guys, okay, great. Connor McDavid was wearing the C at Edmonton and they're in the playoffs. Is he a captain? Did he earn it? Do you want to tell the guys in the room that you're going to get these things even though you didn't earn them because we want to keep you around for a little while? What happens when the next guy shows up who has talent that can make this team win? What do you do for him? You rip the A off a Ristolainen sweater, give it to that guy? What does that say?
No, but Gionta's not going to be here 4 years from now, so let's start the process now. You're telling me that Eichel doesn't, he has those same abilities. Is he going to make mistakes at 20? Sure, but this is the time to work it out. Nobody expects the Sabres to go on a Stanley Cup run next year. Let's work this out next year and take this one step at a time.
And you know Gionta, I mean, he's the classiest of the class. I mean, if he is on this team next year, I mean, Hamilton pressed him on this too. Would you come back if you're not wearing the C? Yeah, I would come back. I could still be a leader in this locker room and not have a C on my sweater.
Sure, I don't think Brian would have a problem doing that. I guess, Gene, to your point, you're projecting this dream scenario where Eichel wears the C next season and he doesn't trip up in the media like he kind of has. He doesn't pop off like he kind of has, and he is the role of leadership. I mean, listen, if you want to talk about guys behind the scenes that are people you want to emulate, it's Ryan O'Reilly. I'm not saying give him the C, but you can't have guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Brian Gionta and Josh Georges coming to the rink every day being the example of professionalism, and then you give the C to a 20-year-old kid because, well, McDavid got it and Austin Matthews might have it. I think you're setting yourself up for a disaster.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly is a great choice as long as it's not 3 a.m. at a suburban Toronto Tim Hortons.
Oh, my God, like you've never made a mistake in your life. And he owned it. He did. Has he done anything since? Have you heard anything negative about Ryan O'Reilly other than he really, really likes Tim Horton?
I bet his beard smells worse than yours.
That's impossible, and we both know that.
Duff, as always, appreciate your time. Pat Duffy from The Break Room on 96.5 WCMF. Hear him again tomorrow morning on our sister station. Enjoy the rest of your night, bud.
Hey, real quick, before I go, you want to feel better about this Mike Gillisley thing to do?
I feel fine about it already, but yeah, pick up Gene. He's down.
Help me out.
All right, two names, Donald Jones and Sam Ankin. Both guys that ended up in New England because Buffalo didn't want them. Both guys that completely bombed out. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. There you go. Donald Jones. Hey, maybe Mike Gillisley will have a spot next to John Murphy on the John Murphy Show someday.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they can afford him based on what happened today.
Yeah, right. That's why they call him Touchdown Mike. Yeah. Okay. Duffy, appreciate the time. Enjoy your night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.